Okay, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12, on down through verse number 16. Let's go ahead and read those verses, and then we'll dig into it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." There's a man who years ago, when he was a young boy, and his name was Glenn Cunningham. Glenn Cunningham was 8 years old, and he lived out in a country area where they had country schools. And back in those days, they had a fire stove in the school in order to heat the school. And Glenn and his older brother were on duty to get the fire started in the school fire stove early so that the school would be warm when the other students got there. Glenn and his older brother went, and they got everything all ready, and they used a can of kerosene to pour on the wood so that it would light more quickly. Unfortunately, the man who delivered the kerosene delivered the wrong can, and it was petrol. And when they lit the match, the whole place exploded. And the boys were terribly burned. His brother was burned to death, and Glenn was burned extremely badly. His legs were burned so badly, the doctor said Glenn will never, ever walk again in his life. However, Glenn was very determined. And being a Christian and in a Christian home, Glenn claimed Isaiah 40, verse 31, which reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." For years, therapists would come and massage his badly scarred legs. Eventually, after many years, Glenn started to be able to stand up, and he hobbled around. And then Glenn began to jog around the farm. And Glenn was absolutely determined to run. And he had so much determination in him that as he got into high school, he joined the cross-country team running. He ran so vigorously and so passionately that he advanced in his running skills. And Glenn Cunningham, in his early years of life, broke the world record for the fastest mile in the Olympics. He was an amazing runner, and yet the doctor said he'll never ever walk again. He was determined to run toward a mark. And the Apostle Paul in our text this evening was determined just like that. He said, "I am determined to reach the mark." As we look at Paul's goal for his life, I find three challenges that ought to motivate us to action. Number one, what we see here is that we must believe that God has a plan for our lives. Believe that God has a plan for your life. Look at verse number 12. The Apostle Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Now that's kind of tongue-twisting wording, and sometimes we get confused with that, but what is he saying here? God had a plan for Paul's life. God's plan was that that for that which he apprehended was apprehended of Christ. Why did God grab a hold of him? Why did God take possession of Paul? God had a plan for Paul. God had a plan for his life. And God clearly told Paul, you know, we don't have the privilege of God speaking to us and saying, this is the plan I have for your life. Now, yes, we have the scriptures and we can see that. But Paul actually heard from God, and God told him, and he quotes this in Acts 26, verse 18. Paul said, God said, I want you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. God said, I want you to go to the Gentiles and reach them with the gospel. That was God's plan for Paul's life. And Paul here says, that was what God apprehended me for, and I have not reached it completely yet, but I am determined to follow that for which I was apprehended of Christ. That's what he wants me to do. You know what? We need to keep that in mind and realize that God has a goal for our life. He has a plan for our life. And just as he had a plan for Paul's life here, Paul recognized God had a plan for him, and he was striving for that goal. And yet he said, I haven't reached it yet. And he hadn't died yet. He was still alive. Now, Paul wrote over in the final book of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul said, I'm done now. I'm at the end of the road. I'm on death row. Going to die any day now, but I finished my course. I reached the goal. I did what God asked me to do. And folks, that's what it's really all about. God has a plan for your life. And the first thing we need to do is say, God, what is your plan for my life? God may want you to be a missionary. God may want you to be a witness to your neighbors. God may want you to reach out to your coworkers. God may want you to reach your family for Christ. I don't know what God's plan is. Why did he leave you here? But he's got a plan for you. And you need to find that plan that God has for your life and seek to follow it. Many Christians live one day at a time trying to make ends meet with no thought of what God had for their life. Isn't that true? A lot of Christians live that way. Don't even give it a thought. I just got to put food on the table, so I got to go to work, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go shopping. And life gets so busy, and we live in a rat race of a busy life, and they don't even think, why am I here? What does God want from me? God has a purpose for you. That's why you're here. That's why you didn't die at birth. That's why you are still alive. That's why you didn't die in some accident. You're still here because God has a plan for your life. And so you need to seek God's mind and his will, and ask God to show you what he wants you to do. We know that we belong to God. Paul tells us there in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. And therefore God has a plan for you. You need to know what that plan is. And God's plan for you is not going to be the same as it is for me. We all have a different purpose in life. You know, as a whole, we can say, yes, Christians are here to witness for Christ. That's true. But God has a specific plan for you. Something tailored to you. Something that you can handle. Something that you can do that nobody else can do. There are people in your life that you come across that you can be a witness to that I'll never see. There are people that you can reach into their lives and be a blessing to that your neighbor can't. You know, so we all have something that God can do. God can do through us, and God wants us to be faithful in following his plan for our lives. Now, as we think on this, God saved you to serve. You know, that's why I say this. And he wants us to live a godly separated life that looks and acts like Christ honoring. That's what we saw earlier in the book of Philippians. He says, I want you to be like Christ, sacrificial, reaching out, meeting the needs of others, humble. So that is God's plan for us, but in a specific way, God has something He wants you to do. And He wants us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. All around us, every day, there's things that are dragging our thoughts away from what God wants. You get up in the morning and there's all kinds of things that will drag you away from the Bible. You need to set, you know, the, go to bed early enough so that you can get up early enough to spend time with God in the Bible every day. That's something God wants for you. I mean, God expected that of the kings way back in the Old Testament. He said, I want every king to write out their own copy of the law, first five books of the Bible. And they were to read it and study it every day so that they could fear God. Now, if God expected that of the kings, and we are kings and priests of Christ, He certainly expects it of us. We need to spend time in the Scriptures every day so that we can grow. And, you know, many Christians say, I just don't have time. Well, if you have time to watch the news, if you have time to play games on the internet, if you have time to, you know, do those fun things that we do, you've certainly got time to read the Bible. We just have to make time. And that's true with all of us. You know, I get distracted too. And so we have to force ourselves to be disciplined and spend time with God. But God has a plan for our lives. And each day, we need to seek to follow God's plan for our life. And you know, it will do us well. And I hope that you will pray for Melanie and I as we travel. One of the things we found in the last two or three times we've traveled is we have had many opportunities to witness for the Lord. And we're praying that God will give us opportunities to talk to people that we sit next to, the people that we communicate with, people in the motel, people in, you know, various. We pray that God will open up opportunities for us. But you know, every one of us should be praying that every day. Lord, help me to find somebody that I can talk to on my way to work today, or someone at work, or during my lunch hour, or you know, whatever the case may be. Ask God to give you opportunities, then have tracts with you so you can be a testimony for the Lord and a witness for Him, and speak up. We've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And He says, that's what we're here for. Paul said, I have not reached that goal yet, but I am striving for that goal. I want to do what God wants me to do. And he was running toward that. Then, the second thing we see here is that we must run toward the mark. Paul said, I haven't reached it yet, but we need to run toward the mark. God has a plan for us, and now we need to run toward that mark. Verse 13, he says there, in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't reached the goal yet. I haven't grabbed on it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, as we look at this, Paul admitted that he hadn't reached God's plan in full yet. He was still alive. He hadn't completed his race yet. He was still running. And Paul had begun with preparation. And he said, I'm going to... forget those things which are behind. You know, there's two things that we need to forget. Number one, we need to forget our failures. How often does the devil remind us of our failures? You're useless, you're no good, you failed, you did this, you did that, God can't use you, you're a waste. Forget it. And he tells us all that we need to forget our failures. Yes, we failed, but if we've gone to God and I'm preaching to myself, if we've gone to God and said, God, I've done wrong, it wasn't right, I shouldn't have done that, and I ask you to forgive me, what does God tell us in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to accept God's forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes to accept God's forgiveness. I know in my head that He forgave me. But I go around in practicality thinking, I'm still not forgiven. No, I need to accept God's forgiveness, and so do you. It doesn't matter whether we've told a lie or been unkind to somebody or said some harsh word or we've done something that was displeasing to God. Whatever it is, the devil comes along and says, you're just not, look, you messed it up. You can't serve God. So forget those things that are failures, but also sometimes we need to forget our victories. You know, if we have a time when God is blessed and something's gone well, you know, we tend to just think, I'm pretty good now. and then we fall flat on our face. And so we need to forget both our failures and our victories and just keep our eye on the goal. You know, that is something that I learned back in high school. That when I took in our sports class, we were doing cross country running and even just relay running. And our coach kept saying, do not look around, look at the goal. So many times we see this in youth activity. Kids are running and they're watching back to see, still ahead of them. Keep looking. I said, if you stop looking back, you go faster. But so often we do that. We look around, instead of keeping our eye on the goal. So Paul says, forget the things that are failures. Forget the things that are victories. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. And then he says, reach forward to the future. So forget the past. Reach forward to the future. So Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Reaching forth to that which is before. All right. So he says, forget those things that are behind. Reach forth to that which is before. So it's reaching out to try to get that goal, and then he says, I press toward the mark. The word presser actually means to run swiftly toward. As if to catch it, to pursue it. It's like you're trying to catch something. We've all tried to catch something. Maybe it's an animal or something that's out of our reach and you can't get it and you chase after the thing and every time you reach out, it's gone. And Paul said, I'm reaching out to grab that. I'm after that. I'm chasing after it. I'm pressing toward that mark. He had a single focus of pressing toward the mark. You know, if you had a group of kids you were trying to entertain, and you just said to the kids all of a sudden, you said, all right, everybody, give me your attention. Run! What would happen? The kids would just take off running everywhere and just all over the place, just running and hollering and carrying on with no purpose. But if you told them, you see that big tree down there? Run around that tree and back, and first one back here is going to get a prize. They know exactly where to run, they know exactly how to run, and they run fast to get down there and back because they had a goal. And so it is. Paul said, you got to stay focused. Press toward the mark. That's the goal, the mark that I want to reach. And he reached toward that mark. His goal was fulfilling God's plan for his life. That ought to be our goal as well. And fulfilling God's plan for my life is different than fulfilling God's plan for your life. Each of us have a plan that God has for us. And reaching that plan, fulfilling that goal, is God's will for your life. So we ought to put our eyes on that mark and say, God, I know this is what you want for me to do, and I'm going to run toward that mark. You know, sometimes in life, you might say, well, I really don't know exactly where it is. But whatever the goal is, you know, if you would have asked me 41 years ago, what's God's goal for your life? Well, 41 years ago, we were just heading off to Papua New Guinea. I would have said, well, I guess God wants me to spend the rest of my life in Papua New Guinea preaching the gospel. And I would have gone to that end. But you know, as we were there, God changed directions for us. God allowed us to get sick and things changed. And we, you know, the doctor said, you better leave or you're going to die. So we left Papua New Guinea. And then we said, Lord, what do you want now? And the Lord opened it up for us to come to Australia. So that was God's plan. And for the last 32 years, we've been here in Australia preaching the gospel and trying to serve the Lord. But then, you know, when we were back on furlough this last time, God once again laid on both of our hearts. This is one of the things that's a real blessing to me. I didn't say a thing to Mel. We were staying with Mom and Dad, taking care of them, and we could both see that they needed help. Mom's mind was getting worse and worse. She couldn't focus on anything. She couldn't cook anymore. She couldn't clean anymore. She couldn't do much of anything. She could do some basic things. If you told her peel the carrots, she could do that. But she didn't. Her mind wasn't working right. And Dad, he was so crippled, he couldn't walk from one chair to the next. He'd have to grab on things in order to keep from falling down. And one day I said to Melody, we'd been there for 2-3 weeks. I said, Mom and Dad need help. I think maybe we need to come back and help them. And she said, I've been thinking the same thing. God's laid it on both of our hearts. And you know what? To prove that there wasn't our plan, when we first got back there, I worked for the first couple of weeks, every spare moment I had, cleaning out the chicken coop so that we could store all of our stuff that we had in Dad's shed, because I knew Dad, you know, Dad wouldn't be there, but the next time I went back to the States, in another 5 years, I figured Dad and Mom would be gone, and I didn't want my brother to have to take care of our stuff. And I had it stored in Dad's shed, so I was going to take all of our stuff out of Dad's shed and put it back in the chicken coop where it wouldn't bother anybody. And I spent 2 weeks cleaning that thing. The chicken coop hasn't been that clean in years. And after I got it all done, it was then when God began to work in our heart. I thought, well, at least I got a clean chicken coop now, but I'm not moving my stuff. See, God may change your plan, but you stay focused on what you know to be God's plan for right now. And God will lead us each step of the way if we will follow Him and seek His will. So we need to be seeking to follow what God wants and following that goal and keeping our eyes on the goal of seeking to please Christ. What does God want from your life? Paul ran swiftly to win the prize. He wasn't running against each other. You know, that's a great thing about this race. You're not competing with me. And I'm not competing with you. You're competing with your old flesh. Your old flesh wants you to drag your feet. The Spirit of God is saying, no, come on, let's run. And so you're competing against your flesh to try to strive to please God so that you can reach that goal and God can say, well done. You reached your goal. And you know, your goal may be down here. Another person's goal may be over here. And somebody else's may be way up here. But that doesn't matter. It's the goal that God gave you. And whatever God wants for you to do, you need to accomplish that goal and strive to reach that goal in your life of pleasing God. And God wants us to press toward that mark. You know, we learn from Paul's passion here, and we are in a race to fulfill God's plan for our lives. We need to do like Paul did. Forget the past, reach out to the future, and run swiftly toward the mark. I see another thing here from Paul's practice here that is helpful for us, and that is that we must let Paul's example be our rule. Let Paul's example be our rule. Look at verse number 15. He said, let us therefore. The word therefore always points us back to what he just got done saying. All right? Because of Paul's example, Paul was pressing toward the mark. He says, therefore, let us therefore, as many as are perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means mature. As many as you are mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So Paul's saying, take a focus. Look at these things. If you're a mature Christian, you need to take a look at this. Make sure you understand what I'm saying here, he says. Those who don't see it need to submit to the Lord's leading here and just let the Lord lead your life. Now, sometimes we just don't see the Bible issues like a mature Christian does. I mean, one Christian may look at the Bible and see things different than you do. Now, I'm not talking about doctrinal things, but you just don't see things quite as clearly, but you will as you grow. Spend more time in the Scriptures, and you can grow and learn the Scriptures and become all that God wants you to be. You know, it's like if you went to a year three student in school and handed him an exam for geometry, high school geometry, he would look at that and go, I don't get it. All right? Because it doesn't make any sense to him. But let him grow and learn more about it, and later on he'll be able to do that. All right? And so it is with each of us. As you grow, you become more of what God wants you to be, and you can see more of what God wants. He'll reveal more of it to you as you grow. You know, there may be things that God has planned for you down 10 years or 20 years down the road that He's not showing you right now, but because you're not ready for that. But as you grow spiritually, you get ready for that, and then God can show you what He wants next. So Paul was striving to please the Lord, and we need to do that as well. When a preacher challenges you to raise your standard, whether it be literally your standard of dress or your standard of your Christian life to glorify God, don't get upset with them. Seek the Bible. Just open your Bible and say, well, is the preacher telling me the truth? Is this really what God wants? And as you dig into the Scriptures, if God shows you, yes, this is what the Scriptures want. God wants you to be more like Him. He wants us to sanctify ourselves, become more like Christ. Then dig into that and strive to do that. And be submissive in these areas so that we can grow and become all God wants. So Paul is saying here, you know, follow my example. This is nevertheless, verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So Paul is saying the things that we understand here, we need to follow the same practice. We need to work together to be all that God wants us to be and seek to be pleasing to God with our lives. And so, based on previous cooperation, Paul then calls for them for unity. Remember, he talked a lot about unity earlier in the book. And he challenged them to walk orderly by the same rule. This idea of rule is a standard or a measuring rod. He says, walk by the same rule and press toward the same mark. The mark is, what's the rule? What's the mark? It's fulfilling God's plan for your life. Paul said, that's God's rule for my life. That's God's mark for me. And you know, we can be thankful that Paul's mark was not the mark God gave us specifically. Paul is an amazing man. You think about the things that he did, the things that he went through. Could I do that? Whew, I doubt it. I mean, all those troubles and problems and persecution and shipwrecks and beatings and whippings and stonings and all the things that he went through were all part of reaching the goal. Now, God doesn't have that for each of us. But God has a plan for you. But the same rule is there, that the rule is we are to follow the mark that God has for me. And so, I think if we just evaluate the whole thing, it all comes back to the beginning, and that is, you need to know what God's mind is for your life. And if right now you say, I don't have a clue what God wants me to do with my life, well, then that's where you need to get back into the Bible and say, God, I need to know your mind. I need to know what you want. And start out with doing the basic things. I mean, God wants all Christians to read the Bible and pray and study and come to church and learn and grow. I mean, that's not for all Christians. So do that first. And as you're doing that, be asking God, all right, now, God, I'm doing the basics. What else do you want me to do? What specifically do you have me on this earth for? And keep seeking God's mind and asking God, why am I here? Until you find out what it is that God wants you to do, and then you strive to do that with all of your might. And that's what Paul is saying. We're all to follow the same rule. That's what God wants. Find God's will and follow it as your mark in life. And he also challenged them to be thinking the same thing. Their thoughts and actions needed to go together, not just doing one thing and thinking another. You know, those of you who are married know that you cannot have harmony in marriage unless you're both doing the same and thinking the same. If you're not thinking the same, you might be doing the same thing, but if you're not thinking the same, you're going to have conflicts. We've got to have unity here. So Paul's saying, as Christians, we need to be thinking the same thing. God has a plan for my life. And so the Philippian church, he's looking at them and saying, all right, what's God's plan for your lives? God wants you to do this. And so find a plan. The goal is that we find out what God wants for you, and you strive to do it. I strive to do what God wants me to do. And we're all headed in the same direction. He all wants us to be reaching others for Christ as our goal. We're not just talking about God wants me to be a plumber or God wants me to be a farmer. No, we're not talking about that. Why did God leave you here? It wasn't just to be a farmer or a plumber. God left you here to reach the lost for Christ in some way. That's what it's all about. It's about reaching the lost, about fulfilling Christ's plan. Why Christ came to this earth? And so somewhere in there, whether you're an engineer or whether you're a plumber or you're a farmer or a housewife, molded into all that is God's plan for who you can reach with the gospel. As a housewife, you can maybe reach out to your neighbors. But there's people. Ask God, God, who do you want me to reach? How can I do this? How can I better reach out? And so strive to do that and do it in harmony. That's what we're all here for. As a congregation, we're working together to see the church grow in our community, not just so we can say, wow, we got a big church. That's not the goal. The goal is to glorify Christ and reach unbelievers for the Lord. And as we reach out into our community and try to bring people to Christ, it's to see them in heaven someday, not just to fill up our congregation. It's nice to have a big congregation, but it's better to reach out with the gospel so that they might hear the gospel. So, tonight as we look at this, God has a plan for our lives. And we need to run toward that mark. And we need to follow the same rule that Paul did. That is, God has a plan for me. I'm going to run to that mark. And that's what I'm going to focus on. And Paul kept that focus all through his life. No matter where he was, no matter what he was doing, whether he was in prison or whether someplace else, he was always looking for the opportunities to reach others for Christ. Even there in Roman prison, he said, God sent me here to the Roman prison, and many of the people in Caesar's household have now heard the gospel because I'm here in the Roman prison. That's what he's there for. God has a plan for you. And your plan, God's plan, is to reach others for Christ through what God wants you to do. So focus on that. Let God lead you and guide you and direct you so that you can be used of Him to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God. The prize of hearing Christ say, well done, you did what I asked you to do. You did what I asked you to do. Well done.